Chapter 13. Gratitude. In this chapter, I talk about what I do when things get tough, how to romance your audience, and how to build lifetime value. Real quick, before I get into this, I also want to do a little off-the-script moment. I love gratitude. I'm convinced that it is what is driving me. And I did make this chapter 13 because I know a lot of people are weird about the number 13, and I like taking negative things and trying to make them positive. So this is not a by accident. Chapter 13 is gratitude on purpose because I'm going to brand the number 13 in a positive way starting right now. I'm often asked what fuels me, and 80% of the time, my answer is gratitude. I'm glad I was born in a communist country and got to move to this great country, where capitalism is revered and appreciated. I'm thankful that I haven't had a lot of pain in my life, though it's because I've lost 3 of my 4 grandparents before I ever got to know them. I'm grateful for the best mom in the world, for the best wife in the world, for a dad who taught me not to be full of shit, and for all the people I love. I won't say that I know how to teach you to have more gratitude, but I can say that if it is something that can be developed, you should go figure out how. Gratitude is my weapon in my day-to-day life. Period. Being an entrepreneur or a CEO is stunningly lonely. That's not talked about much, though it did get discussed more frequently recently as we've seen some suicides in the tech industry. As the head of a company, you are the last person in the line of defense. You are entirely responsible for everything. It's a huge eye-opener when you realize that you are responsible not only for yourself and your family and loved ones, but for the other people in your business too. The enormity of that obligation hit me hard when I was a kid building up Wine Library to 150 employees, and weighs on me even more now with VaynerMedia at 600 plus. Keeping that commitment front of mind while battling all the competitors trying to beat you and put you out of business, all while navigating dynamics you can't control, from Wall Street to geopolitics, can weigh heavily even when you're not faced with business catastrophes like losing an important deal or going out of business. Gratitude is what's gotten me through my toughest moments in business. Yes, there have been some, though I don't like to talk about them much. Whenever I have lost a deal to a competitor or an incredible employee or $1 million in revenue because a state changed its wine shipping laws, that's right, you Texas, I default to gratitude, because I recognize that even if I had invested in Uber and Woody Johnson decided it was time that I buy the New York Jets tomorrow, none of it would matter to me at all if I got a call the next day and somebody told me somebody I loved was sick or was dying. Keeping that perspective allows me to handle anything and everything. Whenever I've been in my loneliest place with my biggest headaches, thank God I've been able to step away from it and remind myself of all the great things that I've been given. It's impossible to complain and get too down when you realize that. Gratitude is what allows me to live my life the way I do, but it's also a core element to the way I do business. I never, ever take it for granted when people take minutes out of their ridiculously busy days to watch my show, or read my blogs, or my books, or listen to my books. I spend much of my time online trying to thank my fans, followers, customers as often as possible. I don't understand why more brands and businesses don't make this their mission. It's not as if customers are limited to their neighborhoods or even their cities to find what they need or want anymore. The world is at their fingertips. It seems to me that when the competition is that widespread, you should be falling all over yourself, thanking every damn customer who decides to spend any time or money with you.
Hey guys, it's Draymond Green again for Chapter 13. Any thoughts on how to use social to promote nonprofits that are selling an experience and a culture rather than a product?
So, you know, it's funny. Before I go into this, I should say this. Nonprofits, NGOs, may be the worst marketers in the world because of something that pisses me off, and that's called entitlement. They think just because they're doing good in the world that every single person should give them money. And that's just truth. I don't know what else to tell you. I've been around this for a long time. As my profile has exploded in the last 7 or 8 years, it is stunning to me. Out of the worst, spammiest internet marketer who just jumps on my Twitter account or email and asks me for money is still better at it, Still better at that douchey move than every NGO that hits me up. The audacity that they just tweet me like, hey, Gary, give $500 right now. Like, do it. Do it. Like, it's insane to me without even saying hello because I have a million Twitter followers. They're like, Gary, retweet this. No relationship. None. Zero. They come in right for the right hook and it comes in hard. And let me promise you, it misses even harder than the spammiest of spam marketers because of that entitlement. And so what NGOs and nonprofits have to realize is, number one, they have to act like everybody else. They can't go into this mission thinking that they're going to get money from everybody just because they're doing good. There's a million organizations doing good. There's also tens of thousands of businesses doing good. There's tens of millions of people doing good. I mean, and I've been very active in this world, sometimes debate, am I giving too much for these organizations and not my inner friends and family? I mean, this is a real debate. This is real life. Let's get to the chase here, everybody. So taking a step back, the thing they do have, and I'm very active in Charity Water. I'm a Well member. I'm on the board of Pencils of Promise. These organizations are doing incredible things. They have nothing but stories. I promise you, as somebody who tries to storytell for bottled waters and soap and tires, it's a lot easier to do it for people that are building wells for people in Africa or building schools for people in Laos. This is an incredible opportunity for NGOs to take a step back and realize they're media companies. You gotta tell your stories. And yes, you can do like great things like only $2 a day feeds. Yes, those are smart things. You need to do what I've been talking about throughout this book, what I wrote about in Jab, 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 Right Hook. But what you have to start with, and I know a lot of you are listening right now, what you have to start with is you're not entitled. Nobody owes you a penny. You know, especially when times are tough, you know your donations go down. You've got to start at that religious place that you are not deserving of that money any more than somebody buying a pair of Nikes. It's just not the way it is. And if you do that, all of a sudden you try harder. All of a sudden you hire better people. It just changes everything. And I've seen the organizations that do it that way and think of themselves as a consumer package good or a media company are doing much better than the people that just walk in and are just saying, well, we deserve it because we're doing great in the world. It's the audacity that's holding so many people back.
Do you still believe marketing is headed toward one-on-one marketing?
One of the great excitements and disappointments in my career is that the Thank You Economy, a book I wrote back and probably wrote it in 2010, came out in 2011, is just not as true as I thought it was back then. Let me tell you why I'm disappointed and excited. I'm disappointed because I hate being wrong. And the truth is, if you asked me 6 years ago, did I think we'd be further along in businesses and organizations caring about consumers on a one-to-one basis? The answer is yes. I'm excited because I continue to make money by doing it. As a matter of fact, if you have the opportunity to have your phone by you right now, if you're not listening on the phone or if you're not driving, I don't want anybody into an accident, but tweet me right now, at Gary VEE, if you bought this audiobook because I one-on-one engaged you. Because I replied to something, because I responded to your email, because I said hello on Snapchat, because I hearted your tweet, liked your Facebook post. Tell me, because here's the good news. It's a lot of you. Because effort and engagement on one-to-one level really matters. It's the purest form of sales. Anybody who's listening right now and knows what a CRM is, which is a consumer management kind of tool, knows that if you can really get there, you will win. I just think that, yes, the world is heading there, and I do think we're going to see a lot more over the next 10 to 15 years evolution. You've seen it with the sales forces and things of that nature. I think one-to-one marketing continues to have massive upside. What I'm starting to realize is the following. The market will go there, but it's going to be a small percentage of people, and that small percentage of people are going to make a shitload of money. Period.